All right, so we know that, and everyone in the listening community, I'm pretty sure that we are really, really grabbing hold of this fact now that these games have money tied in with it. There's money that's part of these games. And Dr. Nagel, I am truly interested in hearing about the business of this championship game.
Well, I think college football, the championship, couldn't have had a better draw. I mean, obviously, whoever makes the finals are great teams. But, you know, they rotate the system of the bowls that contribute or are places that can host the semifinals and the championship game rotate among a number of different bowl sites. You have the Rose Bowl, and you have the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, and you have, you know, the Orange Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and so forth. And so they preset, you know, a year or so in advance where each of these games are going to be held, and they don't know the opponent. So, you know, this was just a fantastic year that you would get two SEC teams in the final when the championship game was going to be in Atlanta. So that really, really, I think, accentuated what was going on, because you had Georgia 90 miles from the stadium, and I think Alabama is roughly 200 or so miles away. So the ticketing for the game became extremely, extremely expensive in the resale market, because you had so many people who could get to the game without having to spend any money on hotels. And so that really drove the price up. Whereas if this would have been a year that the Rose Bowl was the one that hosted the championship game, or the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, or the Orange Bowl, I think the tickets obviously for the championship game are always going to be in strong demand. But this was just a lightning in a bottle in regards to the ticket resale marketplace. And I think the other thing that having two quasi-local teams participate is that's really going to strengthen the sponsorship numbers and all the other ancillary things that go into putting on these championship events. So it was a great draw from everybody in Atlanta's perspective, certainly.
And is this something that the monies that were brought in, hotel fees, restaurant fees, et cetera, is this something that they look forward to benefiting from for months down the road, like they look at how many months after the Olympics has left a particular city, and how they might benefit from the financial gain?
Well, pardon me. Certainly, that'll be an interesting question in regards to economic impact. The championship game is always going to generate a ton of economic activity, just because so many people are going to descend upon the stadium and the area. Will it generate as much because so many people in Georgia may not necessarily have to spend as many nights in a hotel? I think that'll be interesting to see what the numbers are. You know, certainly Atlanta generates a tremendous amount of money from hosting these events, as any stadium that has a college football playoff semifinal or final does. But it'll be interesting to see the degrees from economic impact to Atlanta. I think certainly the economic impact to the college football playoff, the game was fantastic. It went to overtime. The ratings were spectacular. So as you look at the sponsor partners and the media partners, they've got to be absolutely ecstatic because the product was so great, and they're going to be able to go back to those partners and say, look at the product that we delivered to you and the eyeballs that we brought. The local economic impact, I'm sure, will be good, but will it be fantastic since Georgia and Alabama were in it? I think that'll be interesting to see the outcome of that as those studies are done, you know, in the next few weeks and months.
So how about the teams themselves? Do they benefit significantly in the fact that they've attended that, they were in that championship game?
Oh, certainly. I think there's two ways to look at it. There's certainly the direct impact. Now, the SEC will benefit tremendously because most of these bowls and most of the championship and semifinals are the revenue that's generated by the teams participating is first given to the conferences of the teams. And so you have an interesting revenue sharing. Everybody in the SEC will benefit from the fact that there was two SEC teams in the final. Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Auburn, all those different teams, as much as they may not want to be happy that Alabama won and Georgia was the second team in the country, it certainly provides them with revenue sharing through the SEC. So the teams are going to benefit directly from their financial payment they'll get through the SEC offices.
Now, Dr. Nagel, when you say the revenue sharing, you're saying that the SEC as an organization gets a bunch of money and then they divide that up amongst all the SEC teams, football teams?
Yeah, most conferences have various revenue sharing. The SEC model has typically been very, very socialistic. We're going to share everything that comes in for the most part equally.
Interesting.
Alabama and Georgia certainly keep a lot of their own revenue when they host the game, you know, because that's a home game for them. But when we talk about the SEC monies that the college football playoff is going to pay to the SEC, everybody in the conference benefits from that because they have a very liberal sharing of the revenue pie.
Gotcha.
The other thing that's, I think, very, very important is there's this secondary impact that really is going to help Alabama and Georgia. You know, the direct money that comes to the SEC sharing will help them, but the fact that those two teams were in the championship game, the number of people that saw that game, the number of people that are more aware of Georgia, the number of people that are more aware of Alabama, even though it's a football game, studies have shown that for potential students, look at the website at the University of Georgia, the University of Alabama. They look at potentially applying to those schools. The profile of people who are interested in going to those schools tends to increase tremendously. Even people that don't have any interest necessarily or have ever played football, look at teams that participate in big-time bowl games as a great place to go to school. So there's a lot of spillover positive effects that Georgia and Alabama will be feeling that will be indirect in regards to they're not going to be, here's a check for playing, but they're going to be beneficial for those schools going forward. And I think that's one of the things the other SEC schools will have not as much of an advantage because Georgia and Alabama will get a lot of those spillover effects that the SEC schools and the ACC schools and so forth will not get.
That is so interesting. And you mentioned they may not be interested. Some of these students who are looking at these two schools may not be interested in football. Is it possible that some of them aren't even interested in sports as far as playing it? But again, they conclude that these are great schools to attend. And so even though I'm not interested in sports, I'm still going to apply.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think drives a lot of academics a little bit nutty because you sit there and you say, well, okay, you're a 17-year-old and you've never played football and you're going to be a biology major. Why are you now looking at Alabama or Georgia to study biology more so than other schools? You know, football doesn't have anything to do with biology, but there's a weird psychological pull to highly successful, among some students, not all, but among a number of students, look at it. And I think we had at the University of South Carolina when we made the Final Four, we saw a number of eyeballs hit our website, not for athletics, but just hit our website for the academic programs. And so big-time college sports success, particularly in the revenue sports, leads to a lot of positive effects among enrollment and among interest in the school by people that, in many cases, are not participating in athletics at all.
And so that's part of the reason that some schools really do want a good athletics program because it helps them expand in ways that may not even be involved with athletics.
Absolutely. It's oftentimes called the front porch. The best marketing tool that a lot of college presidents feel that you can have is not a wide-ranging advertising campaign or a social media campaign. It's to have a great football team or to have a great men's or women's basketball team. So it's an interesting advertising vehicle, which leads to some very interesting sociological, ethical questions about the role of sports and education and the role of athletes in the college sports setting that we could certainly talk about in the future. But it's definitely a question that has a lot of people. People are aware of the fact that big time sports is a great marketing tool for the universities. It may not necessarily be right. It may not necessarily be wrong. But it is a fact in how things operate.
Dr. Nagel, I would love to have that follow-up discussion where we take a look at the ethics or the potential of ethics involvement if in that whole situation and more, because there's just so much more that is on tap, including the Olympics, the upcoming Olympics, and more. Could we plan to get together at some point in the future?
Yeah, let's make it happen fairly soon.
That's a winner. Our guest, Dr. Mark Nagel. You all be on the listen out. I'll be letting you know when he and I be getting together again. And remember what he shared with you. If you weren't able to catch all of our conversation today, go to speakingwith.com and just click on listen online at your convenience. Find Dr. Nagel's name capital N-A-G-L-E, Dr. Mark Nagel. Listen to it at your convenience. I'll be right back.